Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Actually Comics for May 22nd. I'm Tristan.
I'm Bob.
And we got some comics.
So many comics.
We got a bunch of stuff and some real weird stuff.
Yeah, we were just talking about the weird one. Should we talk about the weird one
first?
Yeah,
let's just talk about the weird one first.
The weird book is called Batman Detective Comics number 1004. And it is the origin of a character called the Arkham Knight, who was apparently in a video game and is now in the comics. And I don't know. It's hard. It's just real weird because you can't talk about all of it.
We can talk about it next week, maybe, just how insane it was.
We'll make a commitment to follow up on how completely weird the origin story of the Arkham Knight is.
I'm completely with you on the idea that it's a very Silver Age origin story where it's just like, to hell with any kind of concept of continuity or any kind of behavioral characteristics that make any sense for any of the characters around it.
Yeah.
It's just like, fuck it. It just happens. Just deal with it. There it is.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. We're going with it.
I feel like this is one of those stories that will never be referred to again. And they'll keep the character around and kind of like dance around the like weird origin. But the origin, like, you can't so I should say it's written by Peter Tomasi. It's drawn by Brad Walker. The art's really great. I like it. I like the story a lot. Sort of. It's just so crazy that I love it. And I really firmly believe that continuity is like just should be thrown away completely. So I love this. But it's just really weird. And if you're a Batman fan, you owe it to yourself to just kind of puzzle through this and try to not let your demanding of things to make linear and narrative sense get in your way of enjoying this origin of a brand new character. And it features cameos from many of Batman's greatest villains.
Cool.
I really liked it, but it is bizarre.
Okay, I'm going to talk about another big book this week.
We should talk
about both of them at the same time. So this is our friend Ben Bishop. He has his big book is out this week that he did with Kevin Eastman. It's there are two books that were kickstarted, and now they're being released through Diamond. So we have them. It's Drawing Blood and Radically Rearranged Ronin Ragdolls. So, obviously, that second one is incredibly stupid. There's a reason for that. So, Drawing Blood is a biography of an autobiography of Kevin Eastman and his life making the Ninja Turtles. It's a fictionalized version with a bunch of crazy comic book stuff in it. But at its heart, it is a lot of really deeply like personal shit that he's literally going through. There are moments of his characters. So the radically rearranged ragdolls are obviously just a parody of the Turtles, just a random Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles parody. And he gets into these moments of just like the characters confronting him and how he had to give up these characters and how he could stop doing the Turtles and sell it off. And he didn't know what to do. And how, like, there's some moments of, like, clearly he felt abandoned by Pete Laird and, like, some other weird shit that's, like, actually really sad. And there's some really funny shit where, like, a giant topless Julie Strain starts yelling at him while he's sitting on his couch. There's some great stuff in this book. And it really is, if you're a Turtles fan, you absolutely have to read this book. Like, no question you have to, because it does have a lot of, like, Kevin Eastman's not the kind of guy that's going to talk about this stuff. Like, these things aren't going to come out in any other format. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought Ben's art was really, really good. There were a couple other artists involved. And I thought what I would like to talk about with it is that I think it's really conceptually really cool. Like the comic itself is great, and I actually really enjoyed the Ragdoll comic as well.
I was actually shocked at how good this was.
I thought it was really good. it was I read both of these cover to cover because I really wanted to give them full service on the on our podcast. And I think debuting two books in this way, where one, it's like, obviously it's like, I mean, I don't know much about, obviously I know he like created the Turtles and like the kind of generic beats, so like I could tell that it was somewhat autobiographical, but it is also definitely somewhat not autobiographical.
Oh, of course. I mean, because there's like all the gun wielding craziness.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff like that, but like the it reads really well. But it's also just really cool that within the framework of this Drawing Blood book, they have this other comic, and then they to make the comic itself come out as part of it, I thought was just really cool. And it's a really cool, I would get both books.
I absolutely agree.
Get both books. I think the production value is really good, the art, the coloring, the way normally I get really turned off. There's another book that came out this week that we'll talk about at some point that has multiple artists. Often it's very difficult for me to kind of, unless that juxtaposition of artistic styles is done in a purposeful way, and then whether it's successful or not. And I think in this,
The parts
it's
that are
super successful. And I think it's like, having followed Ben's work for quite a while, I think it's the strongest stuff that he's been done.
I agree. And also, he does a killer Kevin Eastman impersonation. Like the part that that Eastman inked over. I mean, his layouts for that look like fucking Kevin Eastman.
Yeah, for
sure. Like those are his panels that are supposed to look like original Turtle stuff.
It sure
and
does.
And it's just
too.
Like, damn, that looks like the Turtles.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, you can tell that's his like kind of.
You can also tell that Eastman came in with his Sharpie and did that thing that he does. But
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it's definitely got like a full on like early Turtles
turtly
look to it.
It's so great.
It's great. And I would not ignore the radically rearranged Ronin Ragdolls.
Of course.
Which is
the art in that is phenomenal.
It is really good. And that artist, I think, also did there's a part of the Drawing Blood book that has those characters, and I think that's the same. So that artist would be Troy Little.
Yeah.
And so that one is, I mean, it is clearly a Turtles kind of style book, but it's not, it actually is different enough that I didn't feel like, I felt like it was really, they put a lot of work into it.
They really did.
It's these kind of ninja cat characters and their human friend.
And there's an
army of splintery kind of foot soldiery kind of guys.
I know this is exactly what every comic is trying to do these days, so I know it's unfortunate to bring it up, but my God, this would make a great Birdman type movie.
Yeah, it would.
It really would be awesome.
Also, huge props for putting a guy in tighty whities on the cover.
Yes.
Because that is a bold choice. Definitely.
Really is. Okay.
All right.
Let's blow through some other stuff so that we don't waste too much time.
No, did you read Road of Bones?
I did read Road of Bones.
Road of Bones, I had to read twice.
Really?
First time I read it, I was like, I can't tell what's going on. So then I went back and I was like, I did a little bit less of a skim take on it. And I think Road of Bones is really good.
Yeah, it's...
It's set in 1950s Russia, where people who commit bullshit crimes are forced to work on building a road through Siberia, I guess. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy who works in the food prep area of that, and he is stealing food and feeding it to some kind of demon, and they're like, you're full of shit. But of course, it's called Road of Bones. And it is, I suppose, a Road of Bones because many people died making it, but also a Road of Bones for other reasons as well.
Yep. That is pretty goddamn correct.
Yeah. It was a little, can we talk about this?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You really want to talk about this awesome book again?
Do I really want to talk about my second? This is actually my second favorite book of the week.
This book is so
good.
Stupid.
There was actually a lot of really strong books this week.
Yeah.
Dial H for Hero number 3 is out, and it's just really cool. They have like, they do. Here's another thing where two artists are presented in a way that is super effective, which is you have Joe Quinones doing the main art, and then you have in this issue Dane. I'm not going to spend a lot of time digging through the book to find out who it is, but doing basically, like, every time someone becomes a character, it's like kind of like a throw. Like, we had a Liefeldian guy in like an early issue. This one is like leaning full Vertigo, but then there's also like kind of like a Harley Quinn slash Tank Girl kind of thing. And the art style will just kind of completely mesh with the hero that's created, but then
I thought
also
she was like a legit Allred kind of thing too.
Well, the art is definitely like very AAA pop.
Yeah.
But I think it seems very much like a true hybrid of Harley Quinn and Tank Girl.
Interesting. I thought of it as
again?
Literally.
I can't. The name is really funny.
It's a really weird name. Yeah, Lolo Kick You.
Lolo Kick You.
I thought of her literally as Madman and Tank Girl just squished together because that would be the two. That would be your two Dark Horse books.
Yeah. Yeah. That could work. It's just really cool. The story is fun. It's the main character. The main two characters are runaways who are trying to find the lost H dial that they lost, and it's leading them back. But it also ties to in this issue, very solidly ties into the Silver Age 1960s Dial H series in a cool way.
Yep.
Wicked fun.
Yeah.
Great art. Great story.
So good.
I'll go separate.
Oh, that's yours. Sorry.
It will be.
Yes, Avengers.
Avengers.
That Avengers was number 19.
That was
some stuff happens.
Oh, it's the siege of Avengers Mountain. Avengers Mountain is a hollowed out celestial armor. So like they have like rooms that are like the rib cage and stuff like that. But it's mainly Ken Hale, the Gorilla Man, and it is all drawn by Ed McGuinness. So you get a full issue of a Gorilla Man drawn by Ed McGuinness. Worth the price of admission, I would say, but also a cliffhanger-y kind of thing at the end. People who are following the overall Avengers Jason Aaron arc will not want to miss this issue. I'm going to really can I do this
please.
One?
Please. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to say about this thing, so please talk about that.
I can talk about that. Okay. I'll talk about this right now. Savage Dragon number 244 is literally Eric Larson doing the most awesome like fight scene I've seen. It's a giant chicken man fighting
the
Savage Dragon.
Whose head looks like a bundle of straw.
Yeah, it is
really
weird. Which
is a really weird design.
Apparently, it's like a character that has appeared in the Savage Dragon before.
Must have.
But it's just like
I am unfamiliar.
The classic 60s Marvel Jack Kirby-ishness of this issue alone.
And Captain Tootsie is still in this book.
I don't even know who that is.
Like 20 issues ago, 15 issues ago, something, he basically realized that Captain Tootsie from the old Tootsie Pop commercials was public domain and just yoinked him.
Wait, what?
Just straight up yoinked.
Who's
Captain Tootsie?
Captain Tootsie?
He was a superhero that was like, that sold Tootsie Pops in Golden Age comics.
What?
And he was like,
which
wait.
One is he? I don't see him.
Oh, he's in there somewhere.
Is that Billy Batson?
That looks like fake Billy Batson. That's Captain Tootsie right there. The blonde guy with the spit curl.
Oh.
He's got like an orangish red shirt. And,
how weird.
Yeah.
I love the lettering in this comic. I love the just, it's an unabashed, just like Silver Age fight scene. I thought it was really fun.
I love it. I just wish I knew how you can just kind of, it's like if you just said, you know what, fuck it, the Hamburglar's mine now.
I mean, just, why not?
Batman fights the Hamburglar. Sorry,
I mean,
guys.
At the very least.
Sorry, McDonald's.
At the very least, you can get away with it for at least a couple issues.
That's true. That's a good point.
Action Comics, number 1011. This is my favorite book of the week. I am 100,000% on board for the event Leviathan, and this is the last Leviathan Rising chapter leading into this crossover, which is just, like, I want Bendis to be an editor for DC, and I want him to just, like, make the decisions, because everything he touches in DC is immediate gold. This is great. They bring the Kate Spencer version of Manhunter back, Superman and Lois. There's ties to like it's mostly just like kind of just setting up the event, but it does, there's like this mystery, and it's just, this is how you do storytelling, this is how you do dialogue, this is how the art by Steve Epting is great. I love this. It's so good. It's just it's really strong. Can't say more good things about it. TBH.
Yep. I am currently going through Venom number 14, which I did not give a full read to.
It was kind of, it's just part of this crossover. I didn't really.
Oh man, I actually, I was super into it. So I did the same thing where I did not really give it much of a chance. And I'm really,
so it turns out there's a lot in it.
There's good. Actually, there's actually some fun stuff. I mean,
okay.
And the return of Jack-O-Lantern, which I was really happy about too.
Jack-O-Lantern is one of those, actually Jack-O-Lantern is one of those characters that just like every time he appears, like he just gets like murdered.
Yes.
And it's just like somehow he just always comes back. And I just love it. He was actually in that Black Panther Deadpool miniseries recently, where they just killed him literally for no reason.
I mean, I feel like...
Like, in the story, they were just like, there's no reason I'm doing this other than just to blow
just
your
cause.
Fucking head
yeah,
off.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it was great.
I mean, that's definitely what Remender did with him in the old Venom series.
Yeah. Right?
It was just an excuse to see all of the pumpkin seeds blown all over the wall. So it's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, I want the orb back. I remember when the orb was in all of his stuff.
Jason Aaron could not stop putting the fucking orb in things, and then it all built up to that one story, and then he stopped putting the orb in.
Yeah, and then there was like that thing where he got like his eyeball became like a real eyeball, and he was like part cosmic, and
then they
just like done nothing with him.
What was that story? That was
was the one where Nick Fury became a cosmic
original
entity.
Sin, or
yeah,
yeah, okay,
yeah.
I actually liked the man on the wall story with him. I thought that was cool.
Oh, okay.
I thought there was something to that, and it just never went anywhere.
Yeah.
I thought there was a lot of stuff they could have done with it, and then they just didn't.
Sure. I don't know. I feel like it's like when they made Hal Jordan the Spectre. It's just like Hal Jordan's Green Lantern. Nick Fury is the Captain of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh,
it's just
sure.
Like, it's not like.
However, I will say that Hal Jordan Spectre was one of my favorite DC books while it was running.
Oh, I hated it.
I fucking loved it. I read every issue, and I did not like Green Lantern at the time.
Huh.
So I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
And so I started reading that, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, to each his own.
Exactly.
Did you read this?
I did not.
Okay. Awesome.
What?
It's awesome.
You're a liar.
I am not a liar. Just start flipping through it, and it is amazing. So what I'm talking about is
Whoa.
Clue Candlestick, which is done by Dash Shaw. So if you're familiar with Dash Shaw, you know that this is someone who doesn't make throwaway
God.
Comics. This it's a Clue comic. It's a literally just like the board game. He even ties the board game into the story. It's graphically and story-wise, I love mysteries.
This is nuts.
It's so good. The Clue comic book, you know, it's fighting for a top spot. It's really good.
Why?
It's a murder
Why
mystery.
IDW? It's a, why would you do this for IDW?
Because, I mean...
Because who else are you going to do it
for? Who else are you
going
to do it for? I mean, they have the license. It's literally, like, just imagine a game of Clue in comic book form or the movie
shit.
Clue.
It's so good.
It's... incredibly strong.
Yeah, I
loved it. The way he does these, like Professor Plum is kind of this like Sherlock Holmesian kind of like forensic visual guy who sees every clue and every like he opens a letter and there's like the type of paper the envelope is on is like part of it, and like then there's like this part where they're like sitting at the table and it's like overhead view and you literally see like the game board of like the characters sitting there, like it's just and then all the obviously all the characters are there, they're invited to come to Mr. Body's mansion, and the last thing Mr. Body says is what does he say? It's really funny. Beware the candlestick. And then like someone shoots him, and then it's like what's the mystery. It's just really great. Clue Candlestick by Dash Shaw, number one from IDW. A strong contender for book of the week.
Man,
really good.
I would never have even picked that up.
Oh my god, dude,
holy shit.
I was like,
I mean,
Dash Shaw.
Apparently I bought copies of it because
you did. You actually had a fair amount of copies of it.
So apparently I thought something of it.
Yeah. No, it's really
crazy.
Good. If you love the movie Clue, if you love the board game Clue, if you love Sherlock Holmes or a good mystery, if you love the work of Dash Shaw, or
it's a little boy
of,
geniusy too. Yeah. It has a little bit of that feel to it,
yeah.
Which I thought was kind of cool.
Definitely,
yeah,
and it's a series, so it's you know, doesn't it's not a done in one. It's there's no murderer revealed at the end, so to be continued. So definitely good.
Well, here's another one. Mm. This is definitely not that book. This is a very simple a simple men's book for me. I'm just a simple man. All I really need is the Punisher.
trapped in a tunnel.
With
a bunch of convicts.
With a busload of murderers. And he's guiding them through the tunnel to rescue some people that he moved out of a hospital because it was taken over by frost giants. Just a simple, good all-American story.
He's just a simple man. he's really the Forrest Gump of murderous anti-heroes.
Yep, he really is. I love this book. I think it's really fun.
It was fun.
It's really like, this is what I look for in Punisher stories, and I haven't really been getting this kind of Punisher story lately. The last few series have been fine, but they've been too like, they've been too convoluted, and they're trying to do too much with the Punisher. And I also love anytime the Punisher, he meets supernatural something and solves it with guns. It's always hilarious.
Yeah.
There's always just something funny about him coming up against a supernatural foe and just shooting it.
The Punisher meets eternity. I got my Uzi.
Oh, I mean, honestly, I loved Space Punisher. That was one of my favorite series, too.
I don't know if I read that.
He had an ultimate nullifier in that.
Okay.
There was a lot of weird stuff. That was a really fun series.
The point of the ultimate nullifier was not using it.
Yeah.
Does anyone ever use it in the comics?
Only Frank. I think he's the only person who ever used it.
All right. I kind of assumed that it would just like destroy reality.
Ultimately nullified everything. I think that's what it was.
Ultimately nullified everything. I am going to mention The Flash. Year 1, Chapter 2, Flash number 71. Anyone who thinks that this is a better origin for The Flash than the one that's already been told... I don't understand what planet you're from. The best thing about this is that that means that sometime down the road, they'll have to reboot The Flash and give him a better origin. Because this one involves his time-traveling self showing up to confront him immediately after his lightning bolt accident. His future self shows up and starts talking to him about stuff, and then they start running really fast and fighting people. Which is definitely, you know, like Carmine Infantino and John Broome. That's what they would have envisioned as the origin of the character they created is that, that like he would immediately embroiled into like some kind of time war.
It's so funny. And that's like exactly the stuff that everyone's complaining about the TV show for is like,
is it?
It's basically like he goes and he fixes time and then he's like, well, okay, but I'm never going to do that again. Cause I really fucked up. Oh shit, there's something I need to fix. Hold on, I'll be right back. He fixes it. Oh no, it fucked everything up. How could I ever have guessed that? Wait, I'm just going to go back in time one more time. Oh no, everything's worse again.
This is the thing is like, you know, there was a point where the Flash running really fast and breaking the time barrier was like this cool thing that happened every once in a while. And then they gave him this thing called the cosmic treadmill,
which is fucking hilarious.
Is really actually pretty awesome. But like it made it so that he could just run around and do, I mean, I guess people who listen to this probably watch the show and the show probably has the cosmic treadmill. I don't know. It's like kind of a,
yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think they did the cosmic treadmill in that.
Yeah. I watched the first season.
I don't know what, I don't know if
like they even maybe have done it back that far, but, either way, needlessly complicating the Flash's origin is definitely in the wrong direction to go into.
And
I guarantee
like
you know who wouldn't have done that? Brian Michael Bendis.
And it looks like under Brian Michael Bendis's maybe his advice, they're getting rid of the Speed Force.
I mean, at this point, in the same way that I don't lament that like them not using the 400 colored lantern core, I would not mind. I mean, at this point, they built like there's the Speed Force, but there's also like the like Gorilla
slow force
or like the slow. They have this issue of the Flash. Sorry. Has the new version of the turtle, which I think is the Still Force.
He's the Still Force, yeah.
I mean, what is that? It's wicked dumb. I just don't understand it. But anyway, we shouldn't just nag on comics. The Flash is out. If you're following The Flash and you love The Flash, I'm really sorry if I insulted you. But chances are if you love The Flash, this isn't a book that you're particularly understanding right now.
Cosmic treadmill's back.
Yeah, I mean,
weird.
I don't know. Batgirl number 35 is out. She's continuing to fight the terrible trio, who I love.
Yeah, I think it's cool. It's one of those like super standard superhero stories, but it's really like,
yeah,
but it's fun.
They're crime bosses who wear animal masks.
Yep.
They're cool. They're from old Batman comics, but they've been recontextualized as modern gangsters. Books of Magic number 8 I read. Timothy Hunter is trapped in the fairy realm and then he realizes something horrible that he's done, and
what a dink.
Yeah, I don't know. I Tom Fowler is just amazing. Brian Chirilla is also an artist on this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's good. I think Books of Magic is a super strong book. I'm still into it. I think it's I'm looking forward to the next issue is going to finally resolve the big overall mystery that they've been, or at least kind of, it's the story's pushing to where, you know, there will be like the next arc. So I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. But I really like it. The art's super strong. The story's really strong. It's good.
Sweet. All right. There's a Wonder Woman.
Yeah, there's a Wonder Woman comic. I love the Wonder Woman comic. I didn't really read it, except for it's that Sword Lady is kind of... and also, DC is doing this thing where on some of their books, for some reason, this month, all of the ads are at the end, and I love when they do that. It's like, if you're going to do 400 ads for a thing, put them all in the back and don't like make me look at an ad for one thing 400 times in the process of reading the comic. Good job.
I agree. You'll look at the damn things anyway because you've already bought the book and you're interested.
Well, they release it all online, so if you like read any like news sites or anything like that, you've already seen all of the ads anyway, so it's like, you know, whatever.
Okay, so Wolverine and the Infinity Watch number 4.
Continuing to watch Infinity.
A book that should not be coming out. It doesn't make any sense. It should have been done 2 months ago.
They clearly had a plan for what they were going to do with a Wolverine and then just like completely abandoned it.
Yeah.
And now are just like wrapping it up so that like the people who bought into it don't feel completely ripped off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I don't...
Does he still have hot claws?
He still has hot claws. In this issue...
No, I mean in... He does like in.
They don't use them
in the Marvel universe. He doesn't.
They don't use them.
He hasn't had hot claws.
He has used them in only in these comics.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But this, it's like the cast of characters for this is Loki, Logan, King Thor, Phoenix Logan, Hector, and Talonar, which tells you everything that you need to know about whether you want to read Wolverine Infinity Watch.
I will say, I have read the first three of these and this one. I thought the first three were all terrible, and I kept reading because I was just curious about the story. This one is definitely the best one I have read so far by a far margin. It has a lot of Max in it,
yeah,
which made me happy, the ghost dog.
Oh, I did... read the end of it, and there's a part where like one of the main characters does this thing, and it's supposed to be like a really like heavy duty like, oh man, and it's like just stupid, and they undo it like within pages. It's like it like continuity like undoes itself within like page. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't know who this. I don't know if there's a new
sadly,
character.
Sadly, I do
made.
Know who it is.
Oh no,
it's Nova's brother.
Oh.
Richard Rider has a brother named Robert Rider, and for some reason, he is now a space bad guy.
Robert Rider, space bad guy.
Space bad guy.
Like it.
I mean, I would check out a comic called that.
Monstrous.
Number
22.
Yeah, that's a pretty book.
Continues to be wonderful.
Yep.
Middle West continues to be wonderful as well.
Yes.
We have number 7 out. More crazy fucking foresty nonsense.
Yeah, it was a tough one because I didn't want to, like, we've ignored a couple issues of this in terms of, like, what we've brought back to talk about the podcast. And so I did want to give it a shout out for just being, like, a really cool and good looking book. But I did only skim it. And I can only say that it is a cool and good looking book.
Speaking of cool and good looking books,
I read this one.
I love The Goon so much. The Goon number 2 is out, and it is so fucking good.
It's good.
This is as good as The Goon has ever been. It's like it never went away. And honestly, it's there was a period for Eric Powell where he started, like, nearing the end of the last Goon books. It was like he was feeling sorry for himself. And every single book was like some sort of parody of the comic industry, but it was kind of like a dated version of it where he didn't really know what was going on in the comics industry, where he was like making fun of like the tights and cape stuff in a way that was like, look, we have a shiny cover. And it's like, dude, it's 2012. Like, we don't, we really don't have shiny covers. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But it was like, he definitely seemed bitter about his sales, and he wasn't meeting deadlines, and it was taking him forever to get books out. And the books just had a different tone to them. There was definitely like the last, I don't know, there was the one that was just a throwaway with a stripper in it. And like, you know, where he was like, hey, look, it's this real life burlesque dancer that I'm super into. Let's put her in the comic for no reason.
Oh.
And it's like, okay.
Yeah, I kind of fell off. And then he did the Satan Sodomy Baby. And I was like, okay, like I have to get this just because it's what it is.
Gross and weird. He did two of them.
Yeah.
They were both gross and weird.
But either way.
But that said, this series has been so fucking strong from the beginning.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed this. I read The Goon for a period of time when it came out, when it was new. I think Dark Horse was putting it out back then.
Yep.
And I just, I dug it. And then I kind of fell off. This feels like, I mean, this is a thing that like maybe doing the podcast is really good for me because I am reading stuff that I might not normally. So if you're kind of just like, oh, I see The Goon and I used to like The Goon, but I'm not checking it out because the last Goon I read wasn't that great. Do yourself a favor and check out The Goon because it's really good. And it's
very funny.
Yeah.
Like it definitely, the humor is back to the same type of humor he was using in the older issues, and it's slapsticky and ridiculous, and there are like legit Looney Tunes moments going on in this book. There's actually two straight up Looney Tunes moments in this book, which are great. Yeah. And it's super fun, and it's his beautiful art.
Are you talking about the part with the pig?
Of course I'm talking about the part with the pig. And then like the end, the last panel of this is legitimately something that I want to get a fucking tattoo of. It's so cool looking. It is like one of the best splash pages I've ever seen. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's cool.
Good stuff. Just, I love it. Read it.
I'm going to talk about another book that I love, which has hit its 12 issue miniseries, hitting its number 6 issue, Freedom Fighters. They still are using the word ratsy at least once per issue. So good job. In this one, actually, what was really cool about this, and kind of, I mean, I guess it shouldn't have been that unexpected for me, but this issue tied the Freedom Fighters series directly into Multiversity, which was cool. There was an issue of Multiversity that was the Nazi world with the Nazi Superman, and the first page of Freedom Fighters is like a pastiche or an homage or whatever of the first page of All-Star Superman, where it's like where Morrison distilled the origin of Superman into 4 panels. And this one is Doom Planet, Desperate Scientist, Last Hope, Genocidal Tyrant. And it's like literally it's just like the same origin, but then he like is discovered by Hitler in 1939. So the story goes on from there. It's the Freedom Fighters on a world where the Nazis won World War II, and I just love this book. It's really good. It's one of the strongest books that DC's putting out, and highly recommend it.
Okay, here's something that just is a thing. This is confusing to me.
What is it?
This is War of the Realms Uncanny X-Men.
There's a character who died in this comic that like died in like before this comic should be coming out.
Correct.
It confused me.
There is so much about this I do not understand. I'm not going to lie. I don't know what the hell's going on. I enjoyed it because I love the X-Men, and it's got a lot of X-Men doing crazy X-Men shit. You know, like...
Also Sabretooth.
There's Sabretooth back to being Sabretooth, and some real, like interesting, crazy power moments that were fun. Two people doing wacky things with each other's powers. But this is...
I thought you were going to go somewhere else.
636... This is X-Men 636.
Wait, what?
This is legacy numbering 636.
Oh, this is the issue of Uncanny X-Men.
This is the latest issue of Uncanny X-Men.
But there's a character in it that died like 2 issues ago.
I know.
I don't understand.
I don't know what's happening.
I thought it was a miniseries because it says number two. It does say number two on it.
I mean, if you're going to legacy number everything that has the X-Men in it just to get to 1,000 so that you can have a big expensive issue. That's a bummer. Yeah. Anyway,
I'm going to just plow through some, I don't know.
Yeah,
Ghost Tree, a book that I'm really enjoying from IDW by Bobby Kurnow and Simon Gain. Simon Gain is one of my favorite artists. Ghost Tree number two, I liked number one a lot. Number two was phenomenal. I super dug it, and I can't wait to like get this whole story. Basically what's going on in Ghost Tree is there's a guy and it's in Japan, but he's like has lived in the States. His grandfather died, and there's a flashback in the first issue where his grandfather is like, 20 years from now I want you to meet me at this tree. And he does, and when he gets there he realizes that he can see and talk to ghosts. The first 3 pages of this comic are just absolutely stunningly good. There's a samurai ghost who is holding his own head in his hands, and he is very angry that he was killed in this way and disrespected by his friend. And the guy just is like, the exchange and then the immediate follow-up exchange, like, just get Ghost Tree number two. It's so good, and the art is absolutely amazing. But then there's also this kind of tragic element that comes into it later where sometimes being able to talk to people who are ghosts means being able to talk to people you know. And I just thought it was very super compelling. What happened?
No, nothing.
Okay, everything's fine. I really like Ghost Tree. It's great. Justice League Dark, also, number 11.
Ooh, that was
super
really good.
Super good. The Lord of Order is Nabu from Dr. Fate, and he's going to wipe out magic, and he gives everybody 5 minutes to kind of decide whether they are going to give up magic or not. And I just super dig this. But then there's also this whole thing with the Lord of Chaos, who is called Mordru, who was a Legion of Superheroes villain who has kind of been incorporated into modern continuity with DC. This is a Justice League book that this is my favorite Justice League book. I love it. It's Detective Chimp. It's Zatanna. It's Wonder Woman, Blue Devil, Swamp Thing, others.
All the good things.
Others. It's great.
And the rest.
And the rest here on. Tristan is reading Jabba the Fett.
Jabba the Hutt. It is a comic book about Jabba the Hutt.
I enjoyed. Okay, so this is the one earlier. Here, let's bring it all full circle. When I was talking about multiple artists being like kind of disjointing, this book has like at least 4 artists on it. And I did not like that. But what I did like about this book is that it has a Greedo.
It does have a Greedo. I will give you that.
I always feel like Greedo like just never really got, like, there had to have been a story with Greedo. It's not Greedo. It's like a Greedo. It's like someone from his race. It's a very much the Jabba the Hutt story. He wants some wine. Some really expensive wine, and these guys go up against the Empire in order to bring him his wine.
Yeah, and they're kind of a buddy cop team with a Greedo and a Han Solo.
It literally is like a Han Solo and a Greedo, and they are teamed up. And also all your favorites, such as Salacious Crumb and Bib Fortuna.
Finally, some Bib Fortuna.
So Bib Fortuna gets a whole page. Jabba the Hutt, Star Wars Age of Rebellion.
So
Miles Morales.
Spider-Man, number 6.
It's good.
Lots of the new character, the Starling, in this one.
Who is a legacy character. Fans of Spider-Man. Actually,
she is not the original Starling, right?
Perhaps not. I don't know.
She's like a kid.
She is the granddaughter of a Spider-Man villain.
Yes. Okay.
It's the Vulture.
Right.
I'm sorry I spoiled it, but So Miles Morales, Spider-Man.
But she's a good guy.
She's a good guy. Yeah. Yes, she's from Detroit, which Saladin Ahmed is from Detroit. So he's writing what he knows. In an awesome way. She's great. I really like the character. I really liked the cover of this book. Is what I want the entire book to look like. And
look like this.
I want them to lean hard into that Spider-Verse vibe, and I'll never stop saying that I want that.
I know,
because Spider-Verse is the best superhero movie ever.
But they won't, because Marvel is afraid of weird art lately. Like, they are running scared about people bitching about things looking too avant. Yeah. It took like a cadre of Tradmore's best friends telling Marvel that they were being stupid to get them to release Silver Surfer Black.
Oh, is that like, did that come out? I haven't seen it.
It hasn't come out
yet.
Okay,
yeah. I'm excited for it.
But it's like it's something that was like it was DOA. Like they did not want to put that thing out.
Weird.
And then
I don't know, I haven't seen it, but
they were just like, it's too bizarre.
Well, I mean, some of it is like that Thor,
but it's fucking Silver Surfer.
I mean, I'm not saying Tradmore is, I'm saying that like sometimes
I'll agree.
Like that Thor like was like really hard to follow. Like, I mean, it just legitimately, like I wanted to, it's hard. And if that makes me stupid and like a pedestrian, then that's fine. I'll take it. But
no,
like,
but I
am a comic book aficionado and I love comic art almost as much as I love comic storytelling and writing and whatever. So like I'll buy a comic that looks awesome.
Right.
But like I couldn't tell what was happening.
No, this is more that it's very psychedelic.
Yeah,
it's not going to
set the sales world on fire.
No,
but like
not.
It didn't it back in the day. I mean, like if Marvel was like, we are like, look at Doctor Strange. Like Doctor Strange didn't sell well.
Right. Yeah.
The Hulk got canceled after 6 issues for fuck's sake. You know, like people didn't love these things. Like it's like they've become beloved, but like they were like, especially the weirder things, like, you know, the lens of history kind of shows Doctor Strange being this like critical, but it was a critical favorite. It was like college students that like were into like fucking like hippie shit. We're like, yeah, this comic's cool.
It's
but
crazy.
It was like fucking Johnny 8-year-old didn't fucking love
Doctor
Strange.
I mean,
you know?
Didn't
like,
love it enough that it had its own series until 20 issues in.
Yeah. And it every was, single comic that's ever been made of Doctor Strange has been canceled.
Yeah. It was like it was split between that and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that and Hulk, right? Yeah, like I think Tales of Suspense.
And Iron Man was like that before the movie too.
Yeah. Same deal.
Iron Man was never like, I mean, that was like that thing where it was like, because the movies and the movies changed things legitimately. Like, you know, Iron Man it is a cool character. I'm not like shitting on it, but it was like because of licensing, the Avengers became huge.
Yes.
And only because of licensing.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, they made good stuff and yes, good comics have come from it. But like the X-Men was what people liked.
Right. Exactly.
That was the comic that sold.
Yeah. Avengers was never a huge seller.
Hence the leather jacket era in the 90s, you know, like where Black Knight was the lead character, you know, like anyway, whatever.
Woof.
I mean, I liked some of those comics. The immediate predecessor to those comics was my era of Avengers that I loved with up until Dr. Druid. Right around the time they brought Dr. Druid in was when I left. But whatever.
Speaking of which, you've heard that they're going to bring Brother Voodoo into something. Like he looks like he's going to be in something coming up. Maybe the new Doctor Strange movie.
Oh,
that's cool. Would be pretty awesome.
That would be cool.
I've like always loved that character.
I want Man Thing. Why haven't they done anything with Man Thing?
Because they made that movie that was so abysmal.
They made a Man Thing movie?
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah.
Have I not seen
like
it?
Like 2006?
What?
Maybe later.
Oh, that's not... I mean, they made those Fantastic Four movies and they made more.
Right. It's true. Basically, so one of the funniest things ever. Like, it's one of those movies that I'm like, it has to be better than I remember it. And then I went back to it and it's literally worse than I remember it. It's so bad that I'm 80% sure they went and cut boobs back into it where they like the rest of the movie was so boring and slow that the first scene is like a cold open that I think is a reshoot where they literally just had these two people out on a boat and they're like, oh, we're making out. And then she's topless. And then he gets his head cut off, or he gets like impaled on something, and he's just squirting blood all over her while she shakes her boobs.
Wow.
And gets covered in blood. It is like if you
need
told
more bloody boobs.
If you told me trauma made it, I would go, yeah, that sounds about right.
I'd be like,
it is like a it
maybe.
Is a trauma level man thing movie.
Wow. Okay. Well, maybe that's why I've never heard of it. Either way, we've gone
maybe
we've
far
gone down
afield.
A path. What were we talking
X-Force
about?
X-Force is a comic
we
book
were talking
that came
about
out.
X-Force.
I loved X-Force.
I didn't love it, but I really like the artist.
It's
and
the art is what's doing it
seems
for me, man.
Pretty cool. I just the thing about X-Men, knowing that every X-Men comic is going to get canceled and then they're going to restart. It's like kind of it took a little bit of the wind out of my sails as much as I was enjoying the X-Men books. But I think super strong, and I imagine they're going to wrap it up. So, you know, you got a complete story.
I suppose. Yeah. But I mean, like Sapolsky's saying that this isn't a reboot. It's just continuing. All this stuff is still canon.
But
all this
at
stuff
a certain
is still
point.
Yeah, yeah.
These are going to stop.
And
they're selling it as like a new era of X-Men. And I think that's a dangerous slope for them, but we'll see. Maybe it'll be awesome. I don't know.
I mean,
you're talking to someone who did not love the Hickman Avengers or the Hickman Fantastic Four.
I literally don't know who you are.
Hickman
Avengers, I hated.
I'll also
I legitimately hated it. I thought Hickman's Fantastic Four was one of the best things I've ever read.
Liked where it went up to a certain point, but Manhattan Projects is one of my favorite comics of all time.
Fair.
So I'm no Hickman like hater. I'll go.
I
am a little bummed that you know Manhattan Projects just kind of stopped coming out, and you know whatever. This Doctor Strange comic came out as well. You got your dog in it. Dog.
I got my dog in it.
Doctor Strange number 14 involves Galactus being sick.
Yeah.
I am going to talk about... did you want to say anything further about Doctor Strange?
This is actually a crazy issue. I did not know what was going on. Holy shit.
Oh. Yeah, there's like a crazy stuff going on with Galactus.
And Dormammu. Yeah, that's a big cosmic kerfuffle. Big cosmic kerfuffle, I tell you.
My favorite War of the Realms crossover has come out this week.
Oh, yeah.
It is called
yeah.
Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur number 43. And the way they did their crossover is that the first page is Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, like, interacting somehow in the world of War of the Realms, and then immediately flashes to so I love this guy, Gustavo Duarte. Mm-hmm. He did this Bizarro series, like, not too long ago, and, like, he's doing some Marvel stuff. He's awesome. So it's a Thor team up with Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur where they go to Asgard and team up with the Warriors 3. And it's amazing. It's amazing. It's just...
Aww.
No, dude.
I know. It's so... Give me that. This is amazing.
It's so amazing. I love it so much.
That's delightful.
It's brilliant. And then it goes all the way through. It has this, like...
Oh, my God. His art is so cool.
He is so good. And then at the end, there's a final page where they're back in the War of the Realms. It's just, like... It has Thor. It has Asgard. But it has nothing to do with the actual Asgardian crossover that's going on, except for the first and last page. It's like a done in one, just like Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur teaming up with Thor and the Warriors 3. It's awesome, and it has the best art. It's super good. So also the Terrifics number 16 came out, which is a comic I like, although I am not loving the art in it right now. The storyline is at least somewhat interesting. They have a new writer, Gene Luen Yang, and it's like kind of this space Tron thing. The cat is trying to eat plastic, but I will stop it.
He loves it.
Martian Manhunter number 5 is out. Riley Rossmo, Steve Orlando writing. This is more origin and a little bit of character development. But I still really like Martian Manhunter. Number 5 is out.
Tony Stark, Iron Man, number 11.
Tony Stark,
Asgardian. So he guards asses.
This was linearly and narratively a little bit more along the lines of what I would want from this current run of Tony Stark, Iron Man. I think it, when it says Asgardian, I think that's just the Asgardian variant.
No, that's too bad.
I'm not sure, but it does say variant, right?
Yes, it is.
Variant. It's an Asgardian variant. The last book that I'm going to talk about, and I'm sorry it got buried so far down, because I really loved it, is Rumble number 12 by John Arcudi and David Rubin. I just really like this comic. It's great. Basically, what's going on is the main guy is like a elder world warrior who was trapped, whose heart was ripped out, and he was trapped in stasis for thousands of years, and then is brought back as a human scarecrow with a gigantic sword, and he gets his heart back. So he's still a scarecrow, but he has his heart back, and now the person who took his heart has released four horsemen. It's basically the four horsemen of the apocalypse, but it's just not biblical. And in this one, they have to fight the plague. And they do so by bringing a fire demon to Earth to fight it. And it is awesome because the fire demon is an asshole. It's really good.
Nice. Well, the last one that I have is Shuri number 8.
Yeah.
This is Shuri taking up the mantle of the Black Panther once again to fight a pet that has gone awry.
It's a giant bug.
That she taught songs to.
Yeah, no, her friend did. It's been a storyline that's been going on for a few issues, and there is a part at the end where the bug is singing a song about Wakanda.
24/7 like, vibranium.
But it's like, yeah, it's like literally supposed to be like 24 karat magic by, what's it?
By old.
No, 24 karat it? Magic. Who does that song? It's Bruno Mars. It's like a Bruno Mars song, but it's about Wakanda. But you have to make up the music yourself because it only has lyrics because it's a comic. I don't know.
So there we go.
That's what we got.
We got all sorts of stuff. We got so much shit in. We got a bunch of manga in this week. A bunch of other crazy stuff.
I can talk about some of those things really quickly because I took photos of them. And one of them is a thing that we really should talk about.
Also, Rad Wraith, still there. We're funded, but do stuff. There's more things.
Get to that next stretch goal.
There's so many stretch goals.
But the next stretch goal is a good one.
Next stretch goal after this one is going to be Titty Bats doing an enamel pin for us. Right? So. And we're only $100 away from doubling your stickers. So do that too.
Yeah, do it.
Everybody gets free prizes just by getting more stuff. So share it and stuff.
So the graphic novel of this week that caught my attention is called Giraffes on Horseback Salad, which is purported. And please, someone, if you know if this is real or not, because Tim Heidecker is involved in it. So I am convinced.
So it totally is not.
Well, I don't think it is. The only proof of what it is saying is that Salvador Dali wrote a screenplay for a Marx Brothers film, and this is a graphic novel of the script. However, I think it's bullshit, and then they made it up, and it's just a fun excuse to make a really weird Marx Brothers graphic novel.
I agree.
But we'll find out. I Googled it, and the only thing I could find was a Wikipedia page, which is not enough to sell me on it.
Yeah. No, we just found out about this. Like, this has been out for a while, and we literally just found out about it like a few weeks ago, and I was like, what the fuck is this? This can't be real. And I was like, okay, I need to know more, and so we ordered a bunch of them for the store, and now we have, like, a bunch of copies, so have those.
Nice.
I haven't read it yet, but I'm definitely going to because it seems insane.
It is insane. I flipped through it. There's also a graphic novel called Today is the Last Day of the Rest of Your Life. There's also hardcover Jason.
Yeah, we got a bunch more Jason stuff in.
You got a Silver Surfer. You got a Spider-Man Sinister Six with stuff from Ditko and Eric Larson. You got something called Beirut Won't Cry. Famous Monsters magazine. Buffy, the first Buffy trade.
Oh, yeah, the first Buffy trade is out.
Is that a milk and cheese trade?
There is a milk and cheese trade out as well.
Monstrous, you got Champions. Hilda from.
Yeah, there's a weird Hilda novel tie-in. It's like it's not one of the comics. It's like literally like a young adult novel.
Oh,
pretty cool. That series has been wonderful. Like nice. Kids love it. It's a little too scary for really little kids. So maybe not the 8 and under crowd, but like above 8, it is just a charming, awesome series.
You also have a Manara book. You have a Fantastic Four, The Thing Gets Married trade. You have East Meets West. And I didn't take a good picture of the other thing. So sorry, it's blurry. I can't
it's
tell what it
so
is.
It's so blurry.
I was busy taking pictures as fast as possible.
Awesome. Well, yeah. So that's that. Those are the things that we have. We've got a bunch of other stuff. Come check us out. I'm Actually Comics at I'm Actually Comics on the Instagram.
Yeah.
At Coast City Comics, coastcitycomics.com. Code subscribe, get free shipping. Code BLARG, BLARGH, exclamation point.
I tapped code subscribe in and I didn't get a discount.
Well, subscribe works if you get, I think, $30 or more, you can get 30% off.
Oh, but you could
or
just
25% off.
Code BLARG.
But BLARG will get you free shipping, which in our current economy of shipping is actually a much better deal. So do that.
Nice. And don't forget Rad Wraith on Kickstarter.
On the Kickstarter.com.
And yeah. It's also on Instagram.
Yeah, hit us up. Thanks, guys.
It. All right.
Good night.
Bye.
Don't need no tea. Don't need no chicory. Don't need